Episode 1867, My Strength is My Story with Kim Avery, the prayer-powered entrepreneur.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. I'm Debbie Day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an absolutely incredible, indelible woman. Oh, yes, she is going to leave a mark on your heart. Kim Avery, be ready to be filled with joy as the prayer-powered entrepreneur. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Kim's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple Strategy, Everyday Solutions to Live, Love, and Impact. Well, if you could have only been the fly on the wall, oh wait, you can because you're going to listen today. Kim just fills the room with love. She has this heart that is bigger than what you could ever imagine, and you can feel it in her soul. We talk about a very difficult subject, and it's prayer. A lot of people don't know how it needs to show up in our personal lives, let alone our professional lives. So if you're one whose question is God in the business, my business, you better believe it. So let's welcome in Kim Avery, the prayer-powered entrepreneur. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. Oh, I'm so excited. We have someone that is truly an inspiration to me personally. And I'll tell you a little bit about our connecting a little bit later, but let me introduce to you my friend, my mentor, and coach, Kim Avery. She is a wife of 40 years to her loving husband, Ron, the proud mama to her son, Jonathan, and her recently deceased daughter, Bethany. She has four grandchildren who she is head over heels for. And we got to give a shout out to Peyton, Paisley, Ethan, and Alexander. Hello, guys. How are you? And we can't leave out Samwise Gamgee. Yeah, you're probably wondering who that is. That is their Australian Labradoodle. Kim is a vice president of marketing at the Professional Christian Coaching Institute. She is the founder and president of Kim Avery Coaching, a global coaching firm that specializes in equipping coaches and entrepreneurs to build successful businesses as they partner with God to change the world. She's also a fellow podcaster of Professional Christian Coaching Today podcast. Kim is now celebrating her long 3-year project with her brand new book, The Prayer Powered Entrepreneur, 31 Days to Building Your Business with Less Stress and More Joy. Well, let's get ready to get on our knees. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you, Kim?
I am fabulous. And thank you so much for having me on here today. I can't wait to have a wonderful conversation about God, prayer, and all things in life.
Amen. Well, and speaking of all things in life, I found you in a weird way. I went through some things trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. And I was, I don't know how old I was, but old enough that I can't remember now, which makes me even older. But I came across you through PCCI. And it was amazing. And not only did I learn and take classes from you, but you became my personal mentor coach. And today we do life together. And I am so excited for you in this journey and your passion project of the prayer-powered entrepreneur.
It has been a passion project, a long time coming, probably almost as long as we've known each other. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when you get it in your heart, it's kind of hard to get it out of there.
It is. It really is. And it's, yeah, it's a miracle. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Well, before we jump into the book, I've got to ask you this. What brings you joy?
Oh, my goodness. So many things. The first thing and most obvious thing is just going to be Jesus. Because I've learned, like anybody who's listening to us today, who's probably over the age of 30, that circumstances in life can be up and they can be very down. And we can have great successes and huge losses and disappointments. And God has just taught me in this journey, I've got to anchor my hope and my joy on something beyond what can happen to me later today that I don't even know is coming. It's got to be anchored in, yeah, my joy in Jesus, my Savior. And so that is what sustains me and brings me hope every day.
Oh, well, and you just exude that. You really do. Whether you're listening to one of your podcast episodes with your fellow co-host, you know, Coach Chris, or it's just a one-on-one conversation. And I just got to tell you, you're just so genuine. And I love that about you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, take us back to little Kim. What was it like growing up?
It was a different little world than it is right now. Back then, I don't know if it was the era, how old I am, but it was pretty much children are better seen versus heard. And so I developed what I think of as a very rich internal world. I love to read books. I love to take imaginary adventures. I've always loved God as long as I can remember, but it was a very quiet world. It wasn't until I became an adult that somebody somewhere along the way said, well, what do you think, Kim? And I just wasn't even sure what to do with that because I don't know that anyone had ever asked me before. And so it's been an interesting journey as an adult learning to articulate that inner tapestry that I've woven together all these years.
Oh, wow. Well, I can imagine, you know, just in knowing you, how you were just probably this inquisitive kid, you know, wanting and searching for even more. What was one of your first experiences, if you can remember going back, with prayer?
Well, I don't know. Well, I have a couple with prayer. One is kneeling down beside my bed with my daddy asking Jesus into my heart. So that's, I don't know what age I was, but I will always remember that. But then I flashed to this funny episode. I was in the Johnson's front yard across the street. I must have been 6 years old when I think about the house we were living in. And I lined up all the neighborhood children in a circle and preached to them how they needed Jesus in their hearts. And they weren't going to get to go play in the willow trees until they did it then and now. No, I'm not sure that was the most effective evangelistic moment in history. But like I said, I've always been a little zealous for God.
You know, when you have God in your heart, you just can't get him out. He just loves you too much.
Yeah, amen.
Well, at the time, what was your view of prayer?
Well, I think as a child, prayer was more like waving or rubbing a magic genie bottle, hoping that God would give me magically whatever I thought. As I got older, and I would pray and rub the genie bottle, and God didn't give me what I'd asked for, there was a long period of disillusionment. And then truthfully, a lot of my adult life, it was just followed by confusion. I knew what the Bible said about prayer, that it was important. I knew that God said he answered prayer. But in all honesty, Christiane, I wasn't seeing a lot of connection between what I was praying and what was going on in my life. So it was this act of faith that was rather disconnected from my real life world as a part. Yeah.
Disconnected. That's somewhat weird because you're a coach. And before that, you were a counselor, correct?
Right. Yes.
So to have that disconnection, that had to have brought on some, oh, what's a good word for it? Just disconnected. Like you're not fitting in into the tapestry that God has woven for you and the walk that you were walking.
Yeah, it was definitely an act of faith, and I would definitely pray, but it wasn't interactive, if that's a better word. It wasn't like a conversation where I would say, here, God, here's what I'm thinking, here's what I'm hoping, here's what I'm needing, here's what's going on, and then looking down to see, okay, what's God doing? It was this thing I would do in the morning or do at night or do at mealtime, and maybe even a little perfunctory. Again, I really believed in the power of prayer, but I don't think I was living it out. It's hard to even explain the weird space that it played in my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think, though, when I sit back and I analyze going back in age, prayer sometimes was that magic genie that, like, okay, if I just say this prayer, God gets it. Or it became rote. Thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless it to the nourishment of our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen. And we're done. You know, let's eat. I don't know what it is that when we get older, questions become more, not necessarily sophisticated, but we want more answers than we usually would accept when we were younger.
Yes.
How has your definition changed of prayer since going through not only life, you're much wiser than you were at 6 years old with that little circle of friends. What has that done for you and your definition of prayer?
Yeah, well, prayer is a huge topic, and I don't pretend to be good at any of it or an expert on any of it. And so I don't even really want to have a conversation maybe about intercessory prayer or prayer and fasting. There are people who've studied a lot about that and understand it. And I think in a way that's part of what confused me, because there's all different types of prayer. But what I've realized for myself, especially as an entrepreneur, I'm a busy business owner. I need to coach clients. I need to help people with their businesses. I need to watch the bottom line. I need to clean the bathroom because I'm an entrepreneur. I'm in charge of all kinds of things. And so part of this disconnect in my mind, Christiane, was that I thought God was asking me, in a sense, to stop doing business to pray. And so it was always a wrestle. Well, yeah, I'd love to pray about my business, but I've got to get to work and do business. And so going on this search through scripture, what I've realized is he's asking me to do business through the power of prayer. So the kind of prayer that I most participate in now and that I'm just zealous about because I love it, it's just become conversational. It's as if God were sitting right here in the chair next to me all day long, interested in the person I'm talking to, interested in the article I'm reading, helping me figure out how the, you know, red ink is going to turn to black by the end of the month, or whatever it is going on. And so it's a conversational relationship with my Father, who knows everything, holds everything, cares about everything, and loves me. And that perspective, really coming to grips with that, transformed my prayer life.
Just that conversation. It's like having a conversation with God when you're picking out lettuce at the grocery store.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds strange. I'm one who does that, though. And right. And you're right, though. We need to have those conversations. I do believe that we do it in our personal life.
Mm-hmm.
But more people leave God out of their business life.
That was so true for me. I was very interactive in my conversational relationship with God around my marriage, around my children. I mean, nobody should be brave enough to parent without God, right? It was my need was clear. I had this weird, invisible paradigm between there's sacred work and secular work, and God doesn't care about money or care about a profit. You know, those things just didn't seem quite as spiritual. And I wouldn't have said that out loud, because even as I say it, I think I never really believed that, but I operated on those principles functionally throughout the day, not realizing this is not my business. It's never been my business. This is God's business. He's the CEO. And if I don't have a good pipeline to the CEO of his business, how can I expect to perform faithfully as his employee and his steward?
Such great wisdom there, that we need to call God into our business, because he wants to give us an abundance.
Yes. What,
however he sees that, right? His design, it may not be what we see, but right. His design, right? That's a whole nother conversation. We could speak hours upon hours on that. You know, I think about going back to lettuce, right? We all have staples in our pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the noodles or the sugar. I love sugar. I can't have sugar. I love sugar. The flour, right? You know, your beans and some of your canned goods. How has prayer become a staple in your both personal and now professional life?
When we want to change something in our lives, as Americans, we tend to have this mentality that I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try to not eat sugar. I'm going to try an exercise program. I'm going to try to pray more for my business. And what happens is it doesn't work out the first time because we've not done it this way before. And we tend to fall off the wagon, get discouraged, and say, you know, this just isn't for me. Any new thing that we're really serious about in life, we want to train for. We don't want to try to do. And so just as if I were going to run a marathon or train to be a better business owner, I really set out to train myself. I said, just like the disciples, Lord, teach me to pray. Train myself in this conversational, dependent relationship in my business with God in prayer. And that was as simple as putting little 3x5 cards all over my office and post-it notes and reminders and whatever it took. To the point, though, now, it's like the elevator music of my mind. I don't have to think about it. Oh, I need to pray about that. I'm always having an ongoing conversation with my Father about business. And everything that happens is some type of response. There's no coincidences in life. He is guiding and shaping and molding everything that's going on. And it's become, again, I had to train this into myself, but it's become a much more peace-filled, worry-free, stress-free way to approach what can be a high stress endeavor, which is being a business owner.
Amen to that. Y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of The Prayer-Powered Entrepreneur, 31 Days to Building Your Business with Less Stress and More Joy. Well, I know you have on here entrepreneur, and I like to stretch things and mold things differently too. And I see an entrepreneur, not just one who, okay, I run my own business either out of my home or maybe it is a brick and mortar store. You could be an entrepreneur as a mom.
Yes.
You know, you're the CEO of the family. Yeah. Do you know how many team meetings you have every single day as a CEO of the family? And then you've got the ones that are consultants, right? I think sometimes stretching that out. So for the one who's listening and they're saying, well, I'm not an entrepreneur. This doesn't apply to me. Oh, yes, I'm telling you right now, this book applies to you. And Kim, I'm telling you, I know your heart, but I believe everyone needs a copy of this book because I love how you break it down. So highlight how you laid out this book because, oh, the feeling of it. There's 31 days, hence the number. There's a reason for that.
Yeah. One of the things I realized that was, again, kind of awry in the way I was praying for business, and as you said, Christiane, it could apply to any area of your life, was that they were results-only prayers. Lord, bring me a client. Lord, bring me this amount of money. Or it could be, Lord, help my kids make good decisions and grow up to be functioning adults who don't go to jail. You know, these results. And then at the end of the day, how do I know if God answered that prayer or not? Because they're so far off in the distant future. And when I went to scripture to better understand, as I was asking the Lord to teach me to pray, I realized that God most wants to grow our business, our ability as a wife, our ability as a C-suite, you know, business owner, whatever it is, by growing us. And so I've set up the book on this inside-out journey. I'm not just asking God to be a divine snowplow, remove all suffering out of my way, and drop a bunch of blessings in my lap. I'm saying, make me the kind of person you want me to be. Help my relationship with you to be what you want it to be. And they're specific. Each of these has six specific prayer points that I think are very powerful in terms of who does God want us to be? What does he want my relationship with him to be? And then we work out from there, my relationship with others, whether it's my employees, my clients, or my children. He wants me to be self-forgetful and humble and teachable and authentic. You know, what's my relationship with the outer world? For me, it's my business. For someone else, it might be their family. And then, yes, of course, he does want me to pray for the results that I'd like to see as well. And so lining up in 31 days of praying from the inside out means I always, every single day, have an answer to prayer. Because, for example, if I'm saying, Lord, help me to be peace-filled in this conversation I have with Christiane, I know by the time we're done today, he's either answered the prayer or I messed up and I need to repent. But one way or the other, he's active and he's working. And so that builds my faith. And I see now this great participation and partnership that he and I have in the world with my life that he's given me to steward. Sorry, I get so excited. I could go on and on.
Oh, no, I love it. And you're welcome to go on and on. Well, and also, and then when you go into it, there is a place where you can actually write on each day. So it's almost, it's like a combination of devotional. Yet I don't want to put it in that category because I believe it is different and very unique, but yet it's still a journal because you can write in it. And like you said, you go through it and then you also have a place of prayer and action, which yes. I think is that little hope. And it's not necessarily you personally that it's affected by. It's somebody else who is walking the journey of being in business and their life. How beautiful.
It was a wonderful, wonderful idea, I think, that the Lord planted in my heart years ago when I started working through this information on prayers. I started offering a 31-day prayer challenge, and I invited primarily coaches and entrepreneurs, but like you said, all kinds of people came, and I was nervous. Why should I be nervous? I'm like, God, if you don't show up and answer their prayers, I mean, this is really going to be a bust. You know, I've got to put this out there and said, show up for 31 days and God's going to start answering your prayers like crazy. And I thought, wow, that was bold, Kim. But he did. Of course he did. Because again, we're praying from the inside out. Lord, help me to be authentic. Help me to be teachable. How is he not going to show up and answer that prayer? And so every day in our private Facebook group, people are writing down, here's what God did. Look what God did. Look what God did. And so I included with their permission some of those early first participants in my first 31-day prayer challenge, their answers to prayer in the book to, again, encourage all of us and build our faith that God is for us and he is with us in this journey.
That is so beautiful. And we need that build up, right? Like you said, We're not trying, we're training. Train for life, love your journey. We've got to be in there and we've got to be intentional with doing it. Well, you've got something that I absolutely love, and I'm not going to steal your thunder because I want you to talk all about it. You came up with this process to pray, and I love it because it's also a play on words. Some of us, you know, have this idea that we've got to get up in the morning at 2 or 3 or 4 o'clock, depending upon when your day starts, and we've got to pray with this certain type of music and this atmosphere and candles, whatever is in our mind, right? But you came up with this process that kind of cuts right to where we need to be. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I called it Brief Prayer, which is an acronym, each of those letters standing for something, but also very intentional about the word brief, because again, there's a place for all of those long, deep, intercessory, heartfelt prayers, and people who are especially gifted at it. But people who are called to be in business actually are not able or called to spend hours and hours and hours on their knees in prayers. So I call it Brief Prayer. And for me, this is basically what it stands for. The B is business related. Don't be, you know, Kim, praying for the missionaries overseas all the time. Pray about whatever is in front of me. This is the business, Lord, you've given me to steward. I have specific requests today. I want them to be very relevant, not bless my day today, Lord. I want to have a request so specific, I know at 9 p.m. that night, did he answer it or did he not? Does it need to go back in the queue? So again, it's Lord, in that client meeting, help me to be a good listener. Help me to not be reactive when I face that person. I know they're going to be unhappy with what I've done, right? So very relevant to what's going on that day. We've already talked about that. That's the inside out. I want to pray about who I'm becoming as well as what I'm doing. And then the E is for expectant. Seriously, every day is a treasure hunt. As I pray through the day, it's like, ooh, I wonder what he's going to do now. I wonder how this conversation is going to turn out. I wonder what this email holds. Sometimes they're not things I'm excited about because God is growing me instead of growing the business at that moment. But either way, I know he's growing things. And then F is frequent. Again, he's sitting right next to me all day, every day. And so I just want to have a conversation with him about everything we're doing together.
Well, you didn't have to be that brief, no pun intended, just saying. But I love how you structure that, because we do need the busy mom, the busy entrepreneur, the busy physician, the lawyer, whoever's out there, whatever you're doing, we've got so much on our plates now. And yes, if you're out there running kids here and there, you know, you may have to be praying with your eyes open, with your hands on the steering wheel going, okay, yes, Lord, this is my rundown right now. B-R-I-E-F. I had to think about how to spell brief. But when you think about that, it also gives you permission to settle in for a moment, to settle in with God's presence. And I love that in your writings, you talk about how God kind of had a couple times that he took you on your back and said, Kim, I got something else planned for you. You need to listen. Share with us how you began to seek out answers in regards to prayer when God said, enough is enough, I need your attention.
Well, I'm not sure what time you're referring to. There's so many in my life. God has to keep me on a short leash, I think, to make sure I stay close by. But the first time, and probably one of the more influential times in my life, is just started in my mid-20s, but it went through most of my 30s and even into my early 40s. I was a chronic migraine sufferer. And my migraines got worse and worse to the point where for about a 2-year period, it was just one long migraine. And I barely got out of bed. To this day, I have very little remembrance of who parented my children or how they got around or what happened. I had a couple of heart attacks due to the medicine I was on. And so I was just basically in bed. And if you've ever had a terrible headache or a migraine, you can't read. You can't listen to music. You're nauseous. You can't sit up. You can't go anywhere. There is nothing to do to lay in bed. And if I think about that 2-year period, the first year of that, Christian, was pretty much, Jesus, help me, Jesus. That's all I could get out. And he taught me, though, in my heart and in my soul, I had to give up so much of all my doing. I wasn't a good wife. I wasn't a good mom. I wasn't a good counselor. I wasn't a good church ministry person. I wasn't good at all my doings went away. And he loved me for who I was, just for who I was, when I did nothing. And I needed that profound shift. And then he became the dearest thing on the earth to me. And so almost that whole second year, I would just lay in bed and it's just, oh, Jesus, Jesus, still just a one-word prayer. It's all I could get out. But his presence had become, again, when you realize he's all you have, he's really all you need. And so having a deep dependence on him, I wish I had hung on to that lesson, and it comes and goes even to this day, but I learned it initially and most profoundly in that period of time.
Wow. You know, it's, you talk about the one word. You started out with a different cry, more like a holler cry, and then the next was a celebratory cry.
Yeah.
And still, God's heart, I mean, he's right there with you. And I think sometimes we just get stuck that God's not listening. He doesn't get it. And we are, we mentioned this earlier, you spoke to it, result-oriented. You know, we want something specific, yet we don't pray specifically. You know, we say, hey, God, hey, thanks for this food. It's great. Now let's eat. And we want to move on. Pray in generalizations instead of specifically. Since we're so result-oriented, how do you pray specifically with the intention of saying, Lord, give me fill in the blank?
Yeah, it's a different kind of journey for me. There are times probably in all of our lives where he clearly plants a goal, a dream, you know, something specific, a result he wants in the world in our lives. And in faith, stand on it and pray for it 100% with all your heart. But most of my life, I found I need to live a little open-handedly. He is God and I am not. His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are not my ways. I know certain things he wants in the world. I know he wants my life to have an impact. I know he wants me to be a good steward. I know he wants other people to love them. These are things I know, but how he wants to get from here to there, I don't have a clue most of the time. Let me give a personal example. When our kids are little, most of us who are Christ followers want our children to follow Christ, to be people of deep character, to stand strong in the storm. But here's parenting insight into Kim Avery for a minute. But I don't want my kid to learn that through suffering, through trial, or through hard times, which is really the only way we ever learn to stand firm. And it's the same with the prayers for my business. Of course, I want to have a deep impact. But what if he says, Kim, you have a deep impact because through this trial, people see me as sufficient. Or because you were able to glorify me even when this didn't go well. Do you really want what I want, Kim? Or do you just want your kingdom and your glory in your way? And so I want to pray to the best of my ability for the results I think he wants, but I need to be open-handed because his way to get there is usually not the way I would have chosen.
It's like asking with your palm held up instead of with a fist. We don't want to go into prayer, into battle with God as in saying, well, you know, hey, Lord, you know, come on, give me this or else.
Right.
God doesn't work on ultimatums. You know, he is God and he's going to give us the ultimatum. Ultimately, right? So I love how you say that it's just, it's open-handed, and that's so beautiful. I do know, though, that in reading your book, that it is important for you, and even in talking here, you say, well, you know, by 9 o'clock, I'll have a result. Whatever I was praying for, either it's got to go back in the queue, as in got to pray about it again, or, you know, hey, God answered it. This is what it looks like. How do you keep track? I don't ever, you know, nobody asks these questions, so I'm going to ask a question. How do you keep track of all these prayers from, you know, from your business once? You've got clients, and I know that you pray over your clients and what's going on in their business. How do you handle and structure all that? I mean, come on, you're busy.
Yeah, so I'm a pretty low-tech gal when it comes to that. I have a stack of 3x5 cards, and they're my prayer cards. And you'll talk about God answering prayer sometimes slowly. I was looking through and praying through one of my prayer cards the other day, and I said, Lord, make me a faster writer. I'm the world's slowest writer. So back to writing a book is a miracle. It's just so inefficient, Lord. I keep telling them the way it takes me so long to write. Do you know how much you and I could get done, God, if I could just write faster? So it's a constant prayer. 7 years into that request, I'm probably about 25% faster than I used to be. It's a slow answer to prayer, but he's answering it. And he's taking his time for reasons of his own, probably to keep me dependent on him, to teach me things and let them sit and marinate with me before I pontificate on them or try to share them through writing, whatever his reasons are. But I know he's answering because he's promised he's answering that prayer. And so I may never get faster than I am right now, but I'm going to keep praying and I'm going to keep looking for answers. Other prayer requests I see right away. I have dates when I started praying for it and dates a day later and sometimes a year later and sometimes 3 years later when he's answered it. And some that I've crossed off because he's answered it, but he said, no, I know you wanted that and that's not for you. And that's an answer as well. He's always answering our prayers. How can I just participate and watch what he's doing?
Ooh, love that, because it's not necessarily the answer that we're looking for,
right?
But it is an answer.
Of course.
And we don't necessarily want to acknowledge that because we want our answer, right? I mean, come on, let's be honest. Yeah. I mean, I'm human. I want, Lord, what I want, and not that we should approach it that way. But I do think that when we're looking at are our prayers answered, we've got to look at, they're probably most likely have been answered, but maybe not always in the terms that we want specifically.
And think what good news that is. Mm. Look back in your 20s or even in your teens. Was there anything ever you said, Lord, I want this. And if I don't get this, my life's going to be miserable, like marrying some weird person or getting some bizarre job. And you look back and think, thank you, Jesus, that you did not listen to me. We do not want to be God. We don't know everything. And it's a good thing that he loves us enough to answer our prayers, even with a no.
Amen to that. Well, God does have a way of teaching us and exposing our raw edges, which makes me uneasy, but he does it very well. What did God reveal to you personally when it came to prayer and through this project?
Oh, a lot of things. One is that I am in the beginner school of prayer. There is so little that I know. But on the flip side of that coin, can I just say, and it's okay. Mm. It's just okay. One of my favorite prayer points that we go through in the 31 days is grace infused. God is able to make all sufficiency abound to you for every good work. And so we never have any gaps that he's not able to fill. And so all the anxiety I used to have about getting it right, all the stress about the timing being my timing, all the worry about my image and all my perfectionism, I've learned I'll mess it up every time. I can't be trusted. I am not good enough to do what I'm doing on my own. It will not appear the way I want it to appear. And you know what? God's big enough to take care of all of that. And so it's been a precious journey to realize the more inadequate I am, the better news that is, because it's just more room for him to work.
And when we make that space, God shows up even more.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're looking, we're watchful, because we're intentional. And I think we tend to put that on the back burner. We get caught up in taking a kid somewhere, calling that client, you know, accounts receivables or accounts payables,
you exactly.
know, whichever one you're trying to balance off first. And sometimes they don't balance and you're like, oh, Lord, we need to have a discussion here. How has God shown up in your everyday life?
He is everything. That just sounds so trite. He's everything. He's my best friend, right? He is my business partner. He is my advisor. He's my comforter. He's my joy. He's just, I'm so thankful. We don't need to get into it, but you know that late last year, our daughter passed away. And, you know, you never expect to bury one of your children. It was totally unexpected and devastating. Yet, to be at what will arguably probably be the lowest point of my entire life and find him completely sufficient, fully loving, all grace, even in that, just again reaffirms my faith that it doesn't matter what tomorrow holds because I know he'll be there.
Kim, I can't imagine losing a child. I have five, as you know, and you have walked with such grace and such strength. And I know that's because God has carried you.
Amen.
And so, you know, this incredible book that you've taken and put pen to paper is not just a book that is, oh, I'm going to write this because it's cool and there's not really anything out there, so people will pick it up. No, this is your heart. This is truly your passion. And I love that. And I love you. It's just, y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy of The Prayer Powered Entrepreneur, 31 Days to Building Your Business with Less Stress and More Joy. God does have a way of showing up, doesn't he? And it's exciting, and it can be scary too, right? Because sometimes we don't always know, hence your E, we're expectant, right? Yeah. We search for those treasures, but that treasure may not be something we are searching for. What has become, in looking at all your answers, because I think it's really cool that you have prayer cards, your 3x5 index cards, and you date them. So do you have like a stack? Are they stored? Because you recently moved. Where are all these prayer cards?
They're in a stack right there by my what I call my prayer chair, where I meet with God in the morning. I don't pray every one every day, but some I pray once a week and some once a month and some every day.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, what has been one of the most meaningful ones? It just like comes to mind that God said, this is yours, Kim. I'm answering this for you.
All right. So that maybe it's just because we're having this discussion, but for me, it probably is this book because, number one, I am the world's slowest writer. Number two, it's never been a goal of mine. I'm not one of those people who said, oh, I want to grow up and I want to write a book someday. It's been a really long, hard, really, Lord, here I am, call Christiane. She would do a great job. You know, it's been a little bit of a battle the whole way. But to see him provide every step of the way, show up and bring this to people who will benefit from it, even with someone so imperfect and unschooled as me, is just, it's like watching a baby be born. You know, it's like, I don't know where this miracle came from, God, but it came from you. And so you'll see a bunch of prayer cards about, Lord, should I really ask a publisher about this? Let me know what you think. Oh, and Christy, in my first conversation, can I tell you real quick, because you will crack up.
Oh, yes.
This will show you how God answered this prayer. Okay, I've been praying for a month. All right, we have in our mastermind group that you and I are both in, we have a publisher, and I'd never had a personal conversation with him. Lord, should I approach him with this idea about the book? Well, lo and behold, at our next live retreat, he and I happen to be sitting by each other and no one else is around and we're having a conversation. And I'm like, oh, Lord, no, is this the moment? And so I did what any self-respecting person would do. I changed the conversation. I talked, how's your children? What do you think about Mount Everest? Isn't that a beautiful cloud? Just whatever to avoid it. And God kept tapping me on the shoulder and tapping me on the shoulder. Are you going to mention about the book? So, woman of great faith that I am, here's word for word what I said. So I have an idea for a book that no one will ever want to read and nobody would ever buy. sales pitch to the publisher. So now you know when I say this book being published is a miracle. Just one glimpse into, Kim's pretty imperfect in the way she executes, but at least she's putting one foot in front of the other trying to execute.
But you know what stands out to me, Kim, is that you do put one step. And I haven't known you like for years and years and years, but I've known you for a good amount of time coming in from a perspective of someone in search of. I didn't know really that I was a coach and I'd been coaching really my whole life and how I was leading it. But then I was like, I can get training and like actually know more and have techniques and strategies. I'm like, I'm all in. But to see you when I first met you, I've seen you grow, not just personally, but even professionally. And you've just become this beautiful corporate, I mean that not in a big building corporate, but a corporate as in a whole person. And God has truly blessed you with that. And for him to give you this, this is his language, right? This is, it's our way. It's our red line to God. We don't need a 911 call to God. We need him every single day, every moment.
Amen.
And he wanted to give that to you. What an honor.
Amen. Wow.
It's beautiful. I'm just telling you, it is beautiful. Well, what is your hope? Because I know this book is very high on your radar right now, as it is now launching this week as we speak. So y'all are going to want to pick up your own copy. When they do, what is your hope that the reader will gain as they read each word?
Well, here's the thing. God has given me this picture of a dandelion. So if you've ever lived in the Midwest, I'm not sure where else dandelions grow, but in the Midwest, we always picked them and gave them to mama, right? And she said, there's a weed. But nonetheless, right before they go to seed, they have all these little wispy white stems. He gave me the picture of the Holy Spirit just blowing his breath gently and these seeds getting scattered all over the globe. And these seeds are entrepreneurs. And we live in a world where people aren't looking for God. They don't know they need God. They certainly aren't turning to church or opening their Bibles. But they will go in businesses. They'll go to the dry cleaners and the car wash. They'll hire a coach or a consultant, or they'll buy from someone who sells essential oils or another product. And when that entrepreneur is prayer-powered, Christ-saturated, mission-driven, truly an image of the living God, whether they know it or not, they will encounter a representation of God. We represent him to the world, represent his image just as he is, and they'll get a taste and a hunger to know more of him. And that's what I would love for this book to be a part of doing, is equipping all us entrepreneurs who tend to be independent and sometimes somewhat isolated to have prayer as our basic operating system so that our public face to the world can be one that truly represents Christ well.
I could just see that because I've lived and moved all over, and the Midwest is one, and yeah, we used to have, it's really pretty when dandelions, you know, and they're not where the seeds are, they've now, they're yellow, and you pick them, and they're all gorgeous, and when you have a field of them, it's like, oh, it's gorgeous. But as an individual one, you're like, not so much.
Right.
But you know, God takes that, right? It's the seeds. He's planting that. We've got a lot of, you can claim them as you want, a day for everything, right? We just came off of Valentine's Day. When you're picking up a gift, grab this book and put it in with the gift and say, you know what? I want you to know I'm praying over your business. Mm-hmm. That would change somebody's perspective in a day. I mean, I know it would change mine if somebody said, hey, you know what? I got this for you, but I just want you to know I'm praying for your business. I'm praying what God is going to do. And they're going to look at you and maybe they'll think, oh, this is awesome. Or they may look at you weird, but you've planted a seed.
Yeah.
And you, my friend, have planted, I know, many seeds yet to come.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do next. He's always an adventurer, isn't he?
Oh, he is. Well, for the one who's listening, who's carrying that burden of busyness, of frustration, financial stresses and struggles, overwhelm, where would you encourage them to start with prayer?
For me, it always starts right at the beginning. Lord, I'm confused and I don't know how to pray. I would put that on a prayer card and I would watch everything that happened that day. What songs were on the radio, the people I ran into, what ideas came through my mind, because he wants this for us. So no matter what your most basic gut need is, just start there. He wants to meet us where we are. We don't have to climb to heaven to find him. He's come down to earth, to our hearts, to be with us.
Yeah, because like you said in your book, it's an experience.
Yeah.
It's not about explaining. It's an experience to have God in our presence, and that's what he so desires. Oh, how beautiful. Well, I know people are going to want to find you and connect with you. Where can they?
I would love that. So I have a couple of choices for them. One is you can find out more about the book on prayerpowered.com. So prayerpowered.com, a little bit about the journey, some free resources that'll help you along the way. And if you're not sure where to start praying for your business, or like you said, Christiane, other areas of your life, I have a prayer quiz, and it's at prayerquiz.com. So you can just go. It's a real short 30-question quiz. Go through and come back with some real results of here's some specific ways that you can start praying strategically over your business or your life today.
Oh, I love that. We will definitely have all that information on the show notes. And I wanted to highlight, because I think if I remember correctly, you also have some prayer cards that people can find too. Where would they find those prayer cards?
On the Prayer Powered website. So just prayerpowered.com. And there's references all through the book on how they can download them for free as well. Print them out and help train them, right, in this practice of prayer.
That's right. We're not trying. We're training. We're training. That means we're working the muscle, right? It's the prayer muscle. And we've just got to keep going. And we can do this. I know we can. Well, before I let you go, the series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
It has gifted me great hope. We live in a world that seems declining and dark and discouraging. And I know the glimpses of God and His glory are fewer and further between than ever. But through prayer, He is kind of opening those invisible things to my eyesight to see where He really is redeeming and restoring the things that have been lost. And so no matter how it looks, I have great hope for the future. Yeah.
How beautiful. Well, I know God's going to take this passion project that He laid on your heart, and I cannot wait to see how many more blessings are going to come from it. Thank you so much, Kim. I can't wait to have you back. Many blessings.
Okay, thanks for having me today. Bye-bye.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life, and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.